Hello everyone, I hope you are all well. I'm continuing through my series on 2 Corinthians, and we've arrived at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. I've entitled this blog, The Love of Christ Controls Us. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14, it says this: for the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. Now I wonder what gets you out of bed in the morning. The funny ones amongst us will say, well, it was the alarm clock. I don't mean that. I mean what stirs you to get you going in the morning. Is it negative forces? I have to do this. I must do this. Or positive forces. I'm looking forward to doing this. I'm looking forward to be involved in that. Maybe you feel that you're swamped by external pressures that you can't change or affect, that your day is fixed. Or maybe you dream of winning the lottery and then all will change and this is the day that your life will be different forever. Maybe you feel that it's defined by the expectation of other people, that you're in demand of other people. Or maybe that your day is when you wake up is fearful of what might happen or could happen. Some have described the Apostle Paul as a driven man, a man with seemingly endless energy, a man that seemed to have every appearance of to those that knew him of being propelled by some sort of power. Was he driven by expectation? Was it plans, numbers, nations, churches? Yet when you look at these verses that we have read together, you read them slowly and closely, you find out that this is Paul's testimony. It's Paul's reasoning. It's clear that is the power of love that compels Paul's extraordinary life. But whose love and for what? Now, you don't need to understand Greek to see that the phrase in question can be interpreted in one of two ways. Either Paul is referring to his love of Christ or Christ's love for him. In fact, some people would argue that he has both in mind. I guess I'm going to have to say what I think, which one it is. Is it Paul's love for Christ or Christ's love for Paul, or a combination of both? I believe that we can say that Paul's love for Christ was passionate. And that on more than one occasion, Scripture tells us so. But for me, to live is Christ. Paul said that. But I don't believe that that's what he has in view here. And there are at least two reasons why I am convinced that Paul is referring to the love and affection that Christ has for him and therefore to us. Let's deal with it technically first. In nearly every other instance where Paul uses the phrase of Christ, after the word love, it is agape love. It refers to the love that a person has for another person. So when we read about the love of God in Romans 5:5, or the love of Christ in Romans 8:35, or the love of the Spirit in Romans 15:13, it is the Father's love, the Son's love, and the Spirit's love for the people that Paul has in view. Next, we have to see the context. Paul goes on to speak about Christ's death for us, that one died for all as the preeminent expression of his love. Paul is overwhelmed by the sacrifice that Christ has made, not only for him, but for all sinners. It's as he said to the church in Ephesus, that he wanted them to have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. That's in chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. This then, Paul says, is the single thing that shapes me, sustains me, empowers me. It's what gives me my every breath. It's what helps me to make my every decision, as well as every sacrifice that he would made. It is literally what gets Paul out of bed in a morning. The word control, or in other versions, constrained, literally means hemmed in. He's saying this: everywhere I look, I see the love of Christ. I am imprisoned by it. But more than that, it propels me forward. It gives me definition. It brings me purpose. It gives me reason. I'm pushed forward by the transforming power of knowing that it is Jesus that loved me so much that he gave his life in my place on the cross. Such is how Paul feels. Thus, the idea is far more than mere influence or persuasion or idea. It's as if Paul says, if ever I should be tempted to think of my own welfare, the love of Christ at the cross takes hold of my heart and it liberates me from myself for the service of other people. If ever I should use my sufferings as an excuse to slow down or back off or withdraw altogether, Christ's willingness to endure the wrath of God on my behalf lights a flame in my heart that no amount of earthly comfort or promise of man's praise can extinguish. Perhaps we think, well, it's a different day now, isn't it? We don't live in this day. We're modern people with modern thinking. We understand different things together. He was closer in times to Christ's life and death, and that life was harder for him. Therefore, we don't have to take this as seriously as he did. Don't we? Martin Lloyd-Jones was the master of one word. In our passage, there is the power of the one small word, for. For this love of Christ compels us. Then the other word, because. For the love of Christ compels us. Now, because. And Paul goes on to explain this. If we all died in that Christ died for us, there must be a sense in which that death of his is ours. He must be identified with us in it. Here on the cross, while we stand and we look at him, he's not a person doing us a service. He's a person doing us a service by filling our place and dying our death. Paul's reasoning is that for all that he is and all that he does, everything that he endures, everything that he hopes for, everything that he's loved for, were it not for the love of Christ demonstrated in his death, then everything and all things would be meaningless and shallow. The love of Christ is demonstrated to us in his death. Surely that helps combat ambition, self-pity, promotion, bitterness. Through trials and success, it produces perspective and balance to everything that we do. It serves as the only perfect scales to weigh life against. What about this compared with this, the cross of Christ, where Christ died in my place for me? Here is what controls Paul. Here is what constrains Paul. Here's what hems Paul in. It is that Christ Jesus chose not to hate me, though I was hateful, but to love me, though I was unlovely, and gave himself for me that I might now live for him. Does the love of God revealed in the cross exert a similar power in your life or even in mine? When long-held dreams are shattered by unexpected reality, do you find strength in the knowledge that he died your death so that you might live in the power of his resurrection life? When others betray you or abandon you, are you sustained by the assurance that the cross is the measure of his commitment to you and the pledge to you in his blood, made by his blood, that he will never leave you or forsake you? Does it remind you of that passage in Romans where Paul wrote, "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for your sake"? Does that prove adequate for you in times of difficulty, depression, confusion? I ask myself today, what constrains you, Nigel? What helps you make your choices? What controls your mind? What stirs your affections? What empowers your relationships? What gets you out of bed? And I'm praying with Paul. And I want you to pray with Paul that the thing that gets me out of bed is that he loved me and gave himself up for me. God bless you all. Take much care.